Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, May 19th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. And how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
It's great to have you here. Also great to have Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I am good, man.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. I'm also glad that Casper is our sponsor today, and I'll talk about them soon. But before we do that, I figure we should talk a little bit about what's going on with Fitbit. They just announced that they bought Coin. And just to make sure everyone's on the same page here, Fitbit is a company that's well known for their fitness trackers. They've been the big name in the health and fitness tracking market, wearable thing, for a long time. I just until recently, when my Fitbit One button finally broke, I was a hardcore multi-year Fitbit user, and they bought Coin. And Coin is the company that a few years ago did the Kickstarter, as I recall, where they were making this credit card size thing that would aggregate all of your other credit cards together. So you'd have the one thing, and you could use that as if it were all of your credit cards.
Yeah, I have one of those coins, you know.
I do too.
Along came Apple Pay.
Yeah. Well, then along came Apple Pay. Yeah.
I've got a coin also, and I don't think by the time I got it, it was, I honestly didn't care too much about it anymore.
I've heard it's interesting that you would relate Coin and Apple Pay. And I've heard other people do this. And I mean, I understand why, but especially as someone that has the ability to use both, I'm surprised to hear you continue to do that. Because, to me, I mean, Apple Pay will be great someday when it's ubiquitous, right? But at least where I live, it's not ubiquitous. It's becoming more and more. But, you know, I got my coin, what, a year ago? Mm-hmm. Maybe more than that? And to be fair, the coin has some technological limitations / issues that don't allow it to be as ubiquitous as I would like to. But for things like buying gas and it, you know, that kind of thing, Apple Pay is not on gas pumps yet, at least not anywhere that I've ever been. So Coin is great for that. Apple Pay is not available at most restaurants. Coin usually works well there. They had some issues that I think they've resolved. So to me, I mean, Coin is far more, neither one is as ubiquitous as being able to use an actual real credit card. But Coin, for my experience, is like infinitely more ubiquitous than Apple Pay.
And I get your admonishment. But the reality is that it took Coin so long to ship that by the time I got mine, I was simply more interested in Apple Pay, and seemed like it was a hassle to set Coin up, and I never bothered to do it.
You know, sure. Funny you would say that it was a hassle for you to set up. I set mine up when I got it, so many months ago, and it was fine. I had no issues with that. And then the first time that my bank sent me a new credit card because my previous one was in some database that had been compromised somewhere, I stopped using my coin because I couldn't find the little swipe reader thing that it came with. And I couldn't put a new card into my coin without it. So that was the end of it. I used my coin for like 2.5 months. And then tossed it in a box somewhere because I couldn't find the little swipe reader thing.
Huh. You don't need the swipe reader thing to add cards to it. You can just type them in.
You know, funny you would say that because that's exactly what I tried doing. And I mean, I did the whole thing. I let it take a photograph and gets to the end and it goes, no, you have to swipe this card.
Oh, maybe. Well, so that's possible because Coin, and this perhaps brings us back on topic, you know, Coin acts like a credit card, but it has two ways that it does that. It has a mag stripe that is programmable from inside the coin, which is sort of pretty cool.
Yes.
Device that thin. Yep. But it also, Coin 2.0 does NFC, which is likely more what Fitbit is interested in, and so that's
right.
That's probably
Think so.
Yeah, now to be fair, it's not the entire company of Coin that was acquired by Fitbit. It's just their wearable payments platform. But with that acquisition, Coin, the remainder of Coin, the company, no longer is going to do anything. They will support the coin that you have, and your coin 2.0 will work for the duration of its lifetime, which they expect is about 2 years. Because that they were upfront about that at first. They were like, "Look, this is an expendable device. Once the battery dies, it's done. Where you know there's no way to put a battery in." So, I mean, essentially, yes, Coin was purchased in a way that there is no. There is no more coin left. And to be more clear, when this is not rare, when companies do, when there is an acquisition like this, it is in fact very rare for one company to truly acquire another company in its entirety. Usually it's an asset purchase. And the reason you do that is there's usually something or some things that you want that a company has, and it could be client lists or other things. It doesn't need to be some, you know, tangible asset. It just needs to be something that is worth paying for, and that's up to the two parties to decide. And usually what's left is the shell of the company, and the benefit there is that the company doing the acquiring is not picking up any of the liabilities that might or might not be attached to the company that sold them all these assets. So it makes perfect sense that Fitbit would do it this way. It's how it's typically done.
Right. So they didn't really buy all of Coin. For practical purposes, though, they bought all of Coin.
Yes, that's right. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Fitbit made it clear that they are very interested in NFC, excuse me, and that they are going to be embedding Coin's NFC technology into future devices. They also said not this year, which makes sense because they're well into product development cycles. So that means 2017, which means that we will probably see at least prototypes of NFC-enabled Fitbit devices at CES next January. So now my question is, at this point in the game, We have our smartphones that can handle NFC payments for us, whether it's from Apple or Android or Samsung, and then we have phone or our smartwatches from Apple and other companies that can handle NFC payments. Do we even need to care about Fitbit getting into the mobile payment game, or is this just like another player getting in kind of late?
Well,
Fitbit Pay, whatever they call it, will be a lot more relevant than Samsung Pay.
Okay, there is that. Yeah, right out the chute, it will be more relevant simply because Fitbit is selling a lot more wearables than Samsung.
There's no guarantee that Fitbit... I mean, has anybody seen anything that says that Fitbit's going to do Fitbit Pay with this? Because what we're talking about here, Coin doesn't do Coin Pay. Coin acts like your existing credit card, right? So you have, it's possible that you have a credit card that, in addition to being magstripe swipeable and potentially even in addition to being chip, you know, readable, if it's got a chip on it, it might also have NFC in it, right? So you can take your MasterCard out and put it on you know, just tap it near the NFC reader, mm-hmm. and it will read that card directly. What Coin does and what technology Fitbit bought was the ability to essentially and legally allow customers to clone their cards so that you were effectively the reader did not know that you were doing anything different other than tapping your MasterCard on there. So I don't think that, I mean, this whole concept of Fitbit Pay seems like it's coming out of left field.
It's coming right out of the press release.
Oh, it is? Really?
Yeah. Okay. How about if I give you a quote?
Okay, yeah.
The deal includes key personnel and intellectual property specific to Coin's wearable payment platform. While there are no plans to integrate Coin's wearable payments technology into the 2016 Fitbit product roadmap, the acquisition accelerates Fitbit's ability to develop an active NFC payment solution that could be embedded into future Fitbit devices.
Yeah, but okay, but you're still making a leap to this being Fitbit Pay like Apple Pay, right? I mean, this is just Fitbit allowing you to clone your credit card and put it inside your Fitbit and use it anywhere that that credit card could have been used on its own, which is very different from, you know, we like, for example, that credit card would have worked at Rite Aid, whereas... and now everything works at Rite Aid, but for a time, because of Rite Aid's deal with Currency, Apple Pay would not work there. But your Tap to Pay credit card would, so Fitbit would, and my Coin would.
I was equating this to Apple Pay in the sense that you have a wearable mobile solution for paying with your credit card, as opposed to pulling out a piece of plastic.
Yeah, I think you're splitting hairs, Dave.
Well, I mean, but
you're right on the technical back end, but in terms of the practical way that people would use it, it's practically identical.
Except that there's nothing for merchants to do to support this. If your credit card works with its Tap to Pay at your merchant now, it will work with Tap to Pay via Coin or eventually Fitbit also right now.
Yes.
I mean, there's Fitbit doesn't need to convince the industry to adopt their payment platform. All they need to do is allow people. And Fitbit's not going to make any money off of this, I don't think. I mean, this is really just targeted 100% towards adding a feature for end users. And that's it. Like, Apple gets a cut of the take because of the way they process Apple Pay. Coin certainly isn't processing any transactions. I don't believe Fitbit will be with Coin's technology. I think it's just you have a way of adding your credit card to the thing, and it's all still happening exactly the same way. And I think I'm splitting hairs, but I think it's a pretty big hair to split. I don't think it competes with Apple Pay in the sense that that certainly I inferred when this was first explained to me.
It's okay. The way I see it competing is, which platform are you more likely to use?
Yeah, it's competing on a mindshare basis.
Mindshare basis.
Absolutely. Yes, of course. Yeah. But there's nothing stopping you from having the same card in your Apple Pay wallet and in your Coin right now. And the same is true, what I would presume would be true for whatever Fitbit does with this technology.
Yeah, just I mean, you were steeped in this stuff.
Yeah.
And the minutia matters to you because you understand it. And I don't think most people will ever understand it as deeply or care about it as deeply as you do.
Yeah, but now let's go to the mindshare side of this, right? So right now, the only way that I can pay with something on my wrist is with my Apple Watch. But next year, I'll be able to pay with something on my wrist that's a Fitbit.
And there's a lot of Fitbits out there.
Yep.
Well, of course, it'll be.
It would have to be a new Fitbit.
It would be a new Fitbit.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Fitbit customers out there.
You got it.
Yes.
And this is Fitbit saying, you know, we like our Fitbit platform. Forget about Fitbit Pay. You know, we like the Fitbit platform. We're not going to partner with Apple. And we plan to stick with our platform and expand it.
Yeah. Okay. So from that perspective, this is a really smart move for Fitbit because they've made it very clear they have no interest in integrating into HealthKit. Which means that they are totally fine being completely separate from Apple's ecosystem. And I mean, other than having the Fitbit app on your iPhone so you can you can see your activity.
That'll talk to HealthKit, won't it? It'll pump data in?
No.
It'll read data out of HealthKit. Because my Fitbit app knows my steps, and I have never owned a Fitbit device in my life.
Your Fitbit knows your steps not because of HealthKit, but because it can access the step counter feature. The pedometer
directly.
Yeah, so it's completely isolated from HealthKit.
Got it.
So this gives Fitbit their way to keep themselves completely segregated from everything else and still remain relevant, because now they can offer a mobile credit card payment solution.
Without having to build a back end that processes payments.
Unless they choose to do that.
Right. But what they bought, it will, if they take this and plug it in, they don't have to do any payment processing whatsoever. But right. You do have to have a card that supports NFC to use NFC with the Fitbit payment processing. So, limited, unless, like you said, they choose to kind of take it to the next level.
They could be looking for a new revenue stream here.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. Sure. But
when Samsung announced Samsung Pay, I was and remain incredibly dismissive. That was just part of Samsung's delusions of software relevance. Yeah, Android Pay is the payment solution on Android devices that really matters. But I think that Fitbit, whichever way they try to do this, be it plugging in what Coin is doing or developing their own payment solution platform, either way they do it, they've got a real shot at having some actual relevance.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a totally smart move for them. And let's be fair, they probably got this for a song. I don't think Coin was doing all that well.
Nope.
No, Coin, they launched their Kickstarter at a time that for them seemed totally reasonable. Mm-hmm. But by the time they worked through all of their technical issues and had a product they could actually start working with, the whole market had moved on, and the smart card chip thing was becoming or was about to happen. And that meant they were about to release a product that was behind the times. So then they had to regroup, and it put them farther behind. And yeah, and I don't think they ever really recovered.
No, no. So whatever they could get and this is a valuable piece of their tech. In fact, arguably it's not arguable anymore. It was the only piece of valuable tech to someone else, because that's what they sold off. So, smart to sell it, but I think Fitbit probably, obviously they could have developed anything. The reason companies acquire assets from other companies is to get it either faster or cheaper. And in this case, they might've gotten both.
I think you're right.
Or better.
Yeah. Well, better or cheaper. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sort of like the, yeah, sort the, of three. Like the Bizarro World, $6 million man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, did I mention that we have a sponsor today?
You did, but tell us more about it.
All right. So our sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. And I know you hear me say this all the time, that I love my Casper mattress. And it is true. I don't say that because they're a sponsor. I say it because my sleep patterns have always been a problem for me. And once I got my Casper mattress, I started tracking what was happening. And my sleep patterns started improving. And that was a big thing for me. So my Casper mattress was more than just a nice comfy bed that I could start cuddling up on. It was actually a tool that has helped improve my overall life and my overall health, which I think is a fantastic thing, totally worth an investment. And the great thing is, with a Casper mattress, your investment doesn't have to be huge, because they sell their mattresses for less than what you're going to pay if you were to go into a mattress retailer wherever you happen to live. So I have the queen size mattress. They sell that for $850. A comparable mattress is going to run you $1,000, maybe more, depending on what you get. And the quality is fantastic. I love that they took the time to figure out how to take the different types of foam that they use for their mattress and put them together in a way so that you don't sink in and get like stuck in one position, and you don't overheat, but it's not too firm. It's like they figured out that humans actually sleep in beds. and not just cats. So they figured out how to make a bed that works for humans, and cats can just cope, and my cat seems to cope pretty well. So they're really well-designed mattresses. They're really comfortable, and they're available at a great price, and they have improved my life, which that's really saying something. So you should check them out too. Go to their website, casper.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO, and that $850 queen size mattress that I bought, you can get it for $800, $50 off. Also, they don't charge shipping, and any of the other mattress sizes they have, you can get the $50 off, and you're still not going to pay shipping. So pick out whatever mattress you need and order it, get your discount. They're going to ship it right to your door. You don't have to pay any shipping. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And you can have your mattress set up, and you can be sleeping on it within minutes after it shows up at your door. So check it out, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO for $50 off. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. Okay, we're out of time, but real quick, I figured we probably owe everyone a little PSA, because it's easy to get that sense of confidence that might be misplaced when you start using security software on your computer, whether it's a Windows PC, a Linux PC, or a Mac. And Symantec made it pretty clear, not by design, it just kind of worked out that way, but they made it pretty clear this week that we should keep in mind that security software, antivirus software, these things are not the be-all, end-all in security, because turns out Symantec software had a big security hole where simply getting an email could allow someone to take over your computer remotely. And yeah, how about that? And
how about that?
So, you know, they fixed it, which is great. And they fixed it quickly, and they were very upfront and transparent about it, which is great. But the fact of the matter is, people have this false sense of security that comes from using software packages like this, and they still need to remain vigilant. And I'm just curious, you guys think I'm on the right track here or not?
Yeah, it's not the shields button, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I lived in Texas and I would watch people drive in the ice. Now, to be fair, there was only one day of ice out of every 365, maybe even out of every 500. So people were not trained to drive in ice, and they would put on their four-wheel drive like it was the shields button. Some of them, not everyone. And then they would slide all over the road because it's ice.
Right.
It's the same thing here. You need to be aware of what it is you're protecting yourself against and know that it is a game of cat and mouse. And someone's going to find a way around your security software, and hopefully your security software company finds out what that is before you are impacted, and they update you quickly enough. And that's as good as it's going to get.
Yes. Yeah, that's as good as it's going to get. So just keep that in mind, everyone.
Words of wisdom.
There you go. Just remain vigilant, because your security software package that you've installed on your computer is not magic. And with that, we really are out of time. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
I'm glad to be here. And now I'm thinking I should create a piece of security software called Magic, so that phrase is no longer true.
Get right on that. And and then you can have Magic as a sponsor on TDO.
Yeah, it's just like it's a great big happy family full circle.
Yeah, Hakuna Matata. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Security software has to be one of the most thankless professions on the planet.
No
one thinks about you when you're doing your job right. Everyone complains when you do it wrong. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, always awesome. And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor. Check out their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO, get $50 off your mattress purchase. It's also delivered to your door for free. No shipping charges. That's a beautiful thing. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.